Welcome to the 23 Minutes in Hell podcast. Author and speaker Bill Weiss and his wife Annette address the many questions we all have about hell and eternity. Bill and Annette believe the subject of hell shouldn't grip us with fear, but instead, it should inspire us to use our time on earth wisely.
Thank you for joining my wife and I. Today, we will be sharing three reasons Christians will escape the tribulation. Now, some believe God will allow the church to go through the tribulation. And one reason, they say, is because so many Christians have been tortured and died throughout the last 2,000 years for their faith in Jesus Christ. So why would God spare us? Now, please remember that the persecution inflicted upon the church was from wicked men influenced by demons and not by God's wrath. Let's consider three reasons why we believe born-again believers will not go through the tribulation. And it doesn't matter whether you believe in pre, mid, or post-trib rapture. This is our opinion based on Scripture and many of the Bible teachers who have really researched this topic.
Okay, Bill. That was a great explanation. And the first reason Christians will escape the tribulation, we believe, is because God is pouring out His wrath on Israel and the wicked during the tribulation. The wicked are those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they're not His children, which would be the church.
Right.
And then the second reason, almost every Christian will be killed during the 7 years, so there will be very few left to rapture. It would be a non-event.
Exactly. And the third reason, Jesus said we would not know when He is coming. The end of the tribulation is told to us down to the day once the abomination of desolation happens. This is when the Antichrist sets up his image in the temple. If the rapture were at the end, we would know, and there would be no imminence.
And the tribulation is defined as the period referred to as the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy, where God is dealing with the nation of Israel. And that's in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, Daniel 12, 6, chapter 7, 11.
No, verse 7 and 11.
Oh, and verse, I'm sorry. Yes, Daniel 12, verses 6, 7, 11, Revelation 13, 5. And it is also referred to the time of Jacob's trouble. Again, Jacob refers to Israel, and that's in Jeremiah 30, verse 7.
Right. Israel as a nation has never recognized Jesus as the Messiah. God has dedicated this 7-year period to pressure Israel into seeing that they have been deceived, to finally repent and acknowledge Jesus as their Messiah. Hosea 5:15 says, "I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me." And so again, it's a time of Jacob's trouble.
And that would be God returning to His place, which we know that is Israel. And it will also, it will take wrath and suffering, a broken peace treaty, the Antichrist to set up his image in the temple and declare himself to be God and demand to be worshipped before Israel will finally acknowledge the truth.
Boy, it takes a lot of pressure on them to finally
realize.
You know, in addition, this 7-year period is the time that God pours out His wrath on His enemies, on all who have rejected Him as Lord and Savior. And this is all throughout the Scripture, but just to give you a few, Proverbs 11, 21 and 23, Isaiah 13, 9, 11, 15, Isaiah 66, 15, Jeremiah 9, 25, Jeremiah 30, verse 23, Nahum 1, 2, Zephaniah 1, 18, Colossians 3, 6, 2 Thessalonians 1, 8, 9, and Revelation 14, 10, 11. Just to give you a few. Now, the church is not appointed to wrath. Therefore, God's children, the church, must be removed in order for God to deal with these two groups of people. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath." And 1 Thessalonians 1, 10, "Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And that's not just hell, but His wrath in general.
And now there will be many who will receive salvation through Jesus Christ during this 7-year time period. Actually, in Revelation 7, 9 and verse 14, it says, After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
So many get saved during this tribulation period. Now next, notice who is the target of God's wrath throughout the Bible. There are at least 32 verses plus 10 verses in the book of Revelation. Now here's just five. Ezra 8:22, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. See the difference? Proverbs 11:23, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Nahum 1:2, he reserves his wrath for his enemies. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And one more, Colossians 3:6, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. See that? The disobedient children. Now here are 10 references in Revelation where it states God's wrath is being poured out. I'll just give you them. Revelation 6:16 and 17, 11:18, 14:10, 14:19, 15:1, 15:7, 16:1, 16:19, and 19:15. So that's very clear. Now, in the Old Testament, there are several examples where God did not destroy the righteous with the wicked.
And number one, he caught up Enoch in a fiery chariot before the flood. And some believe he is an example or a type of the church, being a Gentile, and he's removed before the flood occurs, as the church is being removed before the tribulation. And number two, he saved Noah and his family before bringing on the worldwide flood. Noah represents the certain Jews protected during the tribulation, as referenced in Revelation 12:14. Noah was told to enter the ark, and the door was left open for 7 days. And this could represent the 7 years of tribulation, with the door still open for salvation.
Right. And number three, he wouldn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot and his family were removed. The angel said he could not in Genesis 19:22. And what Abraham said to God in this next verse is very revealing. Genesis 18:25, Abraham said, "Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of the earth do right?" And the Lord said he would not destroy it for 10's sake. God said he would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Well, that's what would be happening in the tribulation. The righteous would be getting destroyed with the wicked.
Exactly. And this is an interesting verse too. In Jeremiah 5:1, it says, "Run up and down every street in Jerusalem, says the Lord. Look high and low. Search throughout the city. If you can find even one just and honest person, I will not destroy the city." Now notice, if he can find even one just person, he wouldn't destroy the city.
Wow.
That's amazing. It is amazing.
So why would God now change his nature and his ways and punish his children with the most severe punishment the world has ever seen? And that's in Matthew 24:21, Luke 21:22-26, Revelation 14:10-11. Very clear. It's the worst time ever on the earth. So why would God inflict his children, his church, with
his
wrath?
Yes. Yes, and God's wrath and judgment is poured out to punish those who dwell on the earth. And that's Isaiah 13:11 says, "And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." And Isaiah 26:21 says, "For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain." And the tribulation period is what they're talking about. And that's also Isaiah 13:11.
You know, notice this next verse, which the Lord would violate if the church were to go through the tribulation. Proverbs 17:26. It says, "To punish the just is not good." Short verse, but that says a lot. You know, in Psalm 73:1 says, truly God is good. And also it says God is good in Matthew 19:17. So God is good, and to punish the just is not good. He would be punishing the just during the tribulation.
If we were here.
If we were here. Mm-hmm. You know, God would not be considered good if he punishes the just along with the wicked. And the second reason we will escape the tribulation is because there are seven verses stating that all or almost all of the Christians will be killed during those 7 years. That's in Daniel 7:25, Revelation 6:9 through 11, Revelation 7:9, 7:14, 13:7, 13:15, and 20 verse 4. If the rapture were to take place after the tribulation, there would be almost no one left alive to rapture. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24:22, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved.
And as for surviving during that 7 years, Christians will be hunted down and beheaded. There will be catastrophic disasters on the earth and earthquakes of unimaginable magnitude. People will be burnt in the sun, including Christians, which is Revelation 7:16. 100-pound hailstones will be falling on the earth, all the mountains and all the islands disappearing, with millions of people drowning. This would, of course, include Christians, who would be, you know, inhabitants on these islands.
Right.
All water on the entire earth is turned into blood. All the sea life dies. The terrible stench of all the dead sea life. No food. No water, wild beasts attacking people, plagues, diseases, demons released from hell, tormenting people with the terrible sting, where they will attempt suicides and want to die for a 5-month period, but will not be able to die. And people being tortured, again, beheaded. So,
right.
You know, so, this doesn't seem like God would want to subject his children to this wrath and punishment.
That's God's wrath being poured out, all these natural disasters happening. So not only are the Christians going to be killed through that, but also they're going to be beheaded and hunted down by the Antichrist. And it says, anyone who will not take the mark will be killed by the Antichrist. So who's left?
Yeah, that's pretty clear.
Who's left, you know? Again, if the rapture were to... at the end of this period, there would be no one left to rapture, or at least very few. It would be uneventful. And what would be the purpose then? What would you be saving the church from?
Correct, since they went through it all. And then the third reason is that Jesus repeatedly told us to watch and be ready, and that no one knows when he is coming, Matthew 24:44. And if the rapture were at the very end, then we would know when he is coming. He tells us in Revelation and Daniel that after the Antichrist sets up his image in the temple, there remains 1260 days until the end. And that's Daniel 9:27, chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, Revelation 13:5. So we would know when he is returning. There would be no imminence.
Right. In addition, the rapture couldn't take place in the middle of the 7-year period because, again, we would know the day of his return. Daniel 9:27 tells us when the Antichrist time begins. It is when he confirms a covenant with Israel. Since we know that happens at the beginning of the 7 years, the verse also informs us what takes place in the middle. So we now would know the beginning, the middle, and the end date. Again, there would be no imminence. In other words, it can occur at any time.
Exactly. That's what imminent means, right?
Right. Daniel 9:27 says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the middle of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, the week stands for 7 years, a week of years. That's all the scholars point that out.
Exactly. You know, and Bill, it's interesting. Some people accuse us of having an escape mentality, but Jesus is the one who told us that we should desire to escape. Right. In Luke 21:36, he said, watch ye therefore, that ye may be counted worthy to escape these things, not endure these things. The events Jesus mentioned were all the horrifying times coming during that 7-year period.
Right. So he's telling us we should look forward to escaping it.
Yes, and in Thessalonians it says comfort. Paul said comfort one another with these words.
That's right.
That you would be going in the rapture.
Right. You know, now as Christians, we continue working for the Lord until then and live a life passionate for Jesus and saving souls. But we still are to look up, for our redemption draws near. We are to look forward to his promise of escaping that horror.
And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:18 that Jesus would catch up those who are alive to meet the Lord in the air and to comfort one another again with these words. And if Jesus was coming for us at the end of 7 years, which would be the worst time in all of history on the earth, how could Paul tell us to be comforted?
Right, that doesn't sound too comforting to go through all that horror. No, thank God we're going to escape it. God's a good God. You know, if you want to escape the tribulation period, you need to be a part of God's family. Acts 4:12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." The name of Jesus.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to leave us a rating or comment. We value your feedback. Stay in touch and learn more about this ministry by visiting us at soulchoiceministries.org.